Welcome to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We're Dave and Ashley Willis. On this podcast, we address the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. Broadcasting from the XO Marriage Studio in Southlake, Texas, the marriage capital of the world.
That's right.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, you see that, hey, studio looks different. In fact, I mean, I'm even wearing a new XO Marriage staff shirt that says Southlake, Texas on the back. Here, check this out.
He's very proud of it.
That's right.
YouTube only. You can't see that on iTunes, but you go over to YouTube and see it.
That's right.
But we're glad that you guys are here. It's been a great summer. Now it's kind of the end of summer. Here we are at the end of August, if you're listening to this in real time. Whenever you're listening to this at some point in the future, we're glad you're here. But we're starting a brand new season, and it's based on an upcoming book we have called The Counterfeit Climax. Mm-hmm. And guys, we are so excited about this book. It is everything that we wish we would have known about sex years ago. It is everything that you guys have written to us about the baggage and the questions and the doubts and the hang-ups and all of the things that are holding you back from experiencing the beauty of God's gift of sex the way that He intended. And this book is coming together to really be, I think, a resource that could have a dramatic impact in your marriage. And so all this fall, we're going to be talking about themes inspired from the book, and we encourage you to just go ahead and check it out. It's going to be available for pre-order very soon. In fact, it might even be already, but just be watching for The Counterfeit Climax. It'll be available on Amazon and on exomarriage.com/store, which is our resource page. There's a lot of stuff there already. But this isn't just an advertisement for the book. We're going to talk today about a great and really important topic. But before we do, the love of my life is going to read a review. Thank you guys for leaving reviews. We read them all, and they're so encouraging, and we appreciate every single one of them.
We do. So today's review is entitled Favorite Podcast from Mrs. McManus. And she says, I could not have found this podcast at a better time. I love listening, and I don't want to turn it off. One goal for 2021 was to put more in my marriage, and this has been great. I just ordered the book and cannot wait to start reading it. Well, thank you so much, Mrs. McManus. I'm just so glad that she's listening and getting some help from it. And if you want to leave a review, if you love this podcast, you've been listening for a time, and you haven't left a review yet, you still can. It's the best way to spread the message of the podcast and to help other people have stronger marriages. So go ahead and leave your review today.
So today, and many of you guys have written to us about this, and so this is a real issue, and I'm so glad that this podcast has become a safe place to talk about the real issues. What do you do when you just don't feel attracted to your spouse anymore, or when you feel that your spouse isn't attracted to you anymore? So many people feel like they're in that dynamic, and it's a delicate place to be, but we hope today's episode brings you some hope and some practical encouragement. So let's dive in.
Oh, well, this topic today is a tough one, and that is, what do you do when you don't feel attracted to your spouse any longer? And, you know, this can be a really frustrating place to be. We've actually received a lot of mail that has to do with this, a lot of emails. And every time I read it, it just breaks my heart. And I think there's a lot of ways we can end up in this position, but we're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk about, what do you do? I mean, what do you actually do because you want to be attracted to them? And how do you want to start it off, sweetie?
I was hoping you'd have the answer. I was totally content to just let you handle this whole episode because this is, you know, it's complicated.
It's
and I was
lot.
Like,
yes,
it really, really is. And so first off, for the person, really the people who've written us, thank you for having the courage to write us. And we want to be a safe place to have even the awkward conversations.
Right.
And there are going to be different seasons of your marriage, different times. They're going to, even if you're like super attracted to your spouse, there are going to be moments where you aren't. Like, for instance, today at lunch, I was eating, and when I eat lately, and this is just like the old man in me coming out, and I just feel badly for Ashley for what she's going to have to deal with as I get older. But as I eat, sometimes I'll get something like stuck on the side of my mouth, and it will just stay there for a while until finally, when she can't look at it anymore, she'll say, do you even feel that thing on your face?
I don't say it like that.
No, she didn't. She doesn't at all. She's very, very sweet, actually. She's really sweet. I'm exaggerating for dramatic effect, but even then she's really sweet. But she's like, sweetie, do you do you know, can you not feel
that? Do you feel the chunk hanging
like
off your mouth?
There's something big hanging on your face. And I'm like, and the sad part is I usually do feel it and just have not.
You don't care.
I just haven't wiped it away. And in those moments, like I can see in her eyes right at this moment, she's not attracted to me.
Oh, sweetie. Oh my goodness.
No, but that's, you know, joking aside, that's not what we're talking about. When these people write, and it's really an honest and even a gut-wrenching place,
yeah,
where they'll either say, I'm, for whatever reason, I don't feel attracted to my spouse, or we'll hear from the other spouse that says, I just feel like my spouse is not attracted to me.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking. And I feel it from the fact that they ignore me, or maybe their eyes are wandering other places, or maybe they're not interested in me sexually anymore, it feels like. And it's a deep and intimate rejection, the most yeah. intimate of rejections, to feel that from your spouse. And so what do we do with that?
Exactly. And I want to start with kind of how we get there. And I think that if you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube and you're like, that's me, I've never written you guys, I've never even said it out loud, but I've definitely thought it, I just don't feel attracted to my spouse. I want you to ask yourself some questions. I want you to ask yourself first and foremost, you know, am I looking at someone else, or whether it's an actual person or someone else's life, and longing for something I don't have?
Yeah.
And could that be why I'm currently unattracted to my spouse? And you know, and that could be the reason. And if your answer is no to that, then I would go to another question and think, is there something in particular my spouse has been doing lately that I find to be a turnoff? And, you know, with both of those questions that you can think about, maybe there's both of those going on and you're exceptionally like, you're like, I really am unattracted to my spouse right now. But, you know, ask yourself those questions and then be willing to be honest with your spouse. So especially when it comes to that second question about, is there something your spouse is doing that you find unattractive? You need to tell them about it in a loving way, because they probably don't even know they're doing it. And so here you are just finding them disgusting and not being attracted to them anymore, and they're happy as pie, not even knowing it's going on half the time. And that feeling of being disgusted by them or being unattracted to them is only building up into you. And it's kind of like you're holding it against them, when really, if you haven't told your spouse this, they have no way of even fixing it if they can. You know, there's some things that can't be fixed, I guess, that you're unattracted to, but odds are a lot of those things can be. And if it's a habit they have, or maybe how they're talking to you lately, or maybe they did something that was wrong to you and it really just caused you to see them in a different light, you need to talk to them about it. And it starts with just being super honest, but in a really loving way. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, but I would even say in this conversation, you need to start it out by saying, listen, I know you probably don't realize you do this, but when you do this thing, it just turns me off. And I don't want to feel turned off to you. Like I want to feel so close to you and attracted to you. But when you do this thing, or when you, you know, maybe it's cleanliness, like, you know, you go in days on end without showering, or maybe they went to natural deodorant that isn't working and they're just stinky. I mean, it could be, I'm not knocking natural deodorant. Let me tell you guys, not all of them work. I just want to put that out there. FYI, yeah. Check it out. It's a real thing. I've tried it too. I've tried it. All right. So like maybe it is like a cleanliness or a smell or something. You got to tell him and say, listen, you probably don't realize it, but this is a huge turnoff to me and I don't want to feel that way. And would you mind, you know, remedying this? Would you mind addressing this issue? And odds are most of the time they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you told me, because I didn't know and I don't want you to feel that way towards me. Now, when it comes to that first question I ask you about, you know, is your focus on someone else or something else, some other kind of life that you maybe desire but don't have? That's where it gets really tricky, because let me tell you, when we get caught in just letting our looks linger on other people, or fantasizing about other people, or even just another life that we long for, we really lose sight of all the good that is right in front of us within our spouse and in our family. And so that's where we need to pray about this first and foremost, and ask God to help us to take these thoughts captive. You know, it talks about this in the Word about how we need to take our thoughts captive. And what that tells me is, first and foremost, God knows that we're going to have stuff go through our mind that maybe isn't good, but He also has given us the power with Him to take these thoughts captive and replace them with truth, with His truth, and with good things that we can focus on. You know, it talks about how we need to focus on what is good and praiseworthy and the things that are of God. And, you know, as married people, when we are allowing our thoughts to focus in on someone else and really kind of leaning into that attraction, we're really out of bounds. We're not honoring our vows. I mean, we're lusting. You know, it talks about, Jesus talks about lusting. And I'm not saying this to shame you, because I think any of us can fall into this unchecked, but we do need to really be aware of our thoughts, and we need to take them captive and say, you know, Lord, help me. And then really, if those thoughts of being attracted to someone else start popping in, I would just pray right then and there and say, Lord, help me to love and appreciate and be attracted to the spouse that you have given me. And I'm telling you, in time, your thoughts, it's like they line right up with God, because you're taking it captive and you're putting it through the filter of what God wants for you in your life.
Man, that's so good. And I mean, there's so much richness in what Ashley just said. And a lot of it does come down to where you're letting your thoughts go. We mm-hmm. live in a time and in a culture that says, worship your feelings, because your feelings are your truth and your truth trumps everything else. And really, it's an ungodly mindset that leads us away from the truth, which is God's yeah. word and what he says about things. And so your feelings, they have some purpose, but they were never meant to be kind of the North Star that guides your decision making. Yeah. And there are going to be some moments when you just aren't feeling in love, or you're not feeling madly attractive. But like Ashley talked about, a lot of those feelings are really within your control to say, you know what, I'm going to not focus on my feelings right now. I'm going to focus on love as a commitment, and I've committed to my spouse. And so I'm going to move forward as if those feelings were there. And that's not being fake. That's being a good spouse, by saying, I'm going to lead with my commitment and show my love through my commitment, knowing that my feelings are probably going to catch back up eventually. But right now, for whatever reason, they might be missing in action. But if you'll do those things that Ashley talked about, watch where your mind's going. Because if you are letting your mind focus on these fantasies that aren't even real, you know, through things like, whether it's pornography or whether it's through things that seem more innocent, like she talked about, scrolling through social media and, mm-hmm. you know, seeing other people's lives or seeing other people in their airbrushed images and thinking like, oh, wow, I bet I'd be happier if I was with that person, or if I, you know, had gotten with my high school sweetheart instead of... And those are just toxic thoughts that can't lead anywhere. And they're going to lead you to start focusing on the negative about your spouse. Yeah. And if you're only looking for the negative in your spouse, then the negative is all you're going to see. Yeah. And so some of this is just continuously leading your mind and leading your perspective to say, I'm not going to focus on the negative, but I'm going to remind myself of why I fell in love with this person in the first place. And I'm going to celebrate all the good in them. And I'm going to focus on the good in them, not on the quirky habit that I don't like, or, you know, whatever that thing is that I'm letting my mind fixate on. And I'm going to just focus on the good. And I want to see them in that light, and like pray about it. Lord, help me to see my spouse as the way that you see them, the way you want me to see them, as my beloved, as this gift in my life. And if you'll approach them in that way, you're going to start to see them in that way. And as you start to see them in that way, you're going to start to feel those feelings once again. And then also be willing to have communication about this. And this is where it can get awkward and uncomfortable, because it's a really awkward conversation to just say, you know what, I'm not attracted to you anymore. And I think, honestly, that's not what to say. We're all about honesty. We're all about the naked marriage is being honest and being naked in all parts of your marriage. But honesty with kindness. Yes. And honesty, that, you know, speak the truth in love, the Bible says. And so it might be technically true to you to say, I'm not attracted to you right now, but speaking the truth in love, it's going to sound differently than saying, I'm not attracted. Because what your spouse is going to hear is, I don't love you. I don't want you. I think you're ugly. I want somebody else. They're going to hear all these things that you're not saying, but that's how it's going to feel to them. So in love, you have to say, listen, like, for whatever reason, I just kind of feel a numbness right now. Mm-hmm. And it's probably like in a lot of areas, but just to be completely honest, like some of that numbness has led into the marriage, and my feelings are kind of all over the map right now. And I just want you to know, first and foremost, I'm committed to you no matter what. I love you completely. I'm not going anywhere. But because I love you and trust you so much, I want to be vulnerable enough to like invite you in and let you know that I'm just kind of struggling mm-hmm. right now. And my feelings can't really be trusted at the moment. But I want to work through this together. And those conversations might lead to a place where, you know, you yourself, or you as a couple, get into counseling. It might be something where there's something chemically that needs to be addressed or hormonally in you where this doesn't really have anything to do with your spouse and their level of attraction. It has more to do with just levels being off, hormones or serotonin or whatever that need to be addressed. But get to the root of the issue and then work through those solutions. And then if there are specific things that you and your spouse can do that are going to help bring you back together, then do those things. And man, we talk about those things all the time. Like, I mean, our whole podcast and the books that we write and all that we do here at Exo Marriage, the events that we do, it's really to help you guys reconnect and stay connected as a couple. So many people that come to our Exo Marriage events, and we've got some coming up on the calendar, so go to exomarriage.com and sign up for one. They say, we were kind of in a funk when we got here. Like, we were sort of out of sync and not feeling the feelings anymore. But just a couple days of committed, dedicated time to commit to our marriage, to recommit to one another, we're leaving this place feeling like a couple of teenagers in love again. So it can change that quickly when you put yourself in a position to grow.
I know that you appreciate learning because you're listening to this podcast right now to learn and grow in your marriage, and props to you for that. So I want to give you another opportunity to learn. Our friends at Hillsdale College so believe in equipping our culture with truths related to history, economics, faith, citizenship. They're offering their college-level courses, some of their college-level courses, completely free. I encourage you to check out, to start with, the course on ancient Christianity, which is going to give you a really solid base in understanding what was happening culturally and historically during the early years of the church. It's really, really powerful, and the teaching is world class. You can find out all about it at hillsdale.edu/naked to enroll. And I'm telling you guys, there's no cost. This is free college level education, and it's going to benefit your life. So it's hillsdale.edu/naked to register. Check them out at hillsdale.edu/naked. And start learning today. I'm super excited about some Mother's Day gifts and future birthday gifts that I have coming up. And it's made possible through our friends at Aura, A-U-R-A. An Aura frame is essentially a digital picture frame that you can upload and customize really at any point. You can have your pictures streaming in real time. You can change what pictures it shows. You can make it exactly what you want it to be. It's so customizable. It's so cool. You can even add pictures to a loved one's frame in some other state or other part of the world by uploading a new picture you think they'll love that'll pop up on their frame. And it's a great way to keep families connected. I think this is one of the most thoughtful gifts that you can give. So I want you to go to AuraFrames.com and use the promo code NAKED to get $30 off plus free shipping, which is an amazing deal. That's AuraFrames.com. Use the code NAKED, and I promise you, they're going to love their Aura frame.
Absolutely. I love all that, sweetie. And I do, I would love to meet you guys. We would love to meet you guys at one of our Exo Marriage events. So definitely go to exomarriage.com and check that out and sign up. The tickets go fast. We'd love for you to be there. So do it sooner rather than later. We love those events so much. But, you know, talking about the attraction issue, I think sometimes we can get so lost in the physical. And I just want to remind everybody watching and listening that you probably weren't only attracted physically to your spouse. It might have been the first thing that you were attracted to. But what kept you together before you even got engaged was that you were attracted to really like to them on a soul level. And so I think it's important for us to call out those things that we were first attracted to in our spouse and really reminisce on those things and even the new things you've learned. You know, the longer you're married, the more you're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, but really lean into the good and tell your spouse about it and thank them for it. You guys, I know you're probably like, oh no, here goes Ashley again with her thankfulness speech, but I can't tell you how much saying thank you and just focusing on that and then taking it a step further, thanking God for it and then thanking your spouse for that thing, whatever it is, that can make them in your eyes even more attractive. And it also makes them feel more attractive. I mean, it's just this beautiful thing that God has given us. And there's such power in being thankful. And it really does shift the focus on the good rather than the critical. And so it's important just to think about those things. Think on, you know, if you're having a moment where you're like, man, I'm just so not into my spouse right now. I'm just not attracted. And I don't feel gushy feelings toward them. I would just challenge you to think about what you're thankful for when it comes to your spouse. And I guarantee you that those things are probably things that you probably do find attractive. Like I'll just give an example. I mean, honestly, one of the sexiest things that I've ever seen Dave do in my life is change our kids' diapers. I mean, so sexy. And seeing him just lead our boys and talk to our boys and him, you know, call and make reservations for our date nights. Seeing Dave, Dave is one, and all his friends tease him about this because he's just got a kind heart. He will always stop and help that homeless person. If he has any money on him, he's going to give it to the homeless person, or he'll take it a step further and he'll give him a cup of coffee. And let me just tell you, that is so attractive. That is so, so attractive. And so if you feel like you're getting lost in this trap of just focusing on the physical, like maybe their body's changed, they've gained a little weight, or they've lost a lot of weight, or maybe they, you know, they're getting wrinkles on their face, their hair's turning gray, or they're losing their hair, or whatever it is, you guys.
You just described me, like, in all of those things. I was just, that really hit close to home. Like,
oh my
all
gosh.
Of the wrinkles, the hair,
No, you just are like a fine wine, sweetie. Getting better by the day. No, but you know, what we need to remind ourselves is that marriage is a journey. And there is something so attractive about looking over to your spouse and knowing that you probably put some of those laugh lines on their face. And I hope you did put those laugh lines on their face, and they put them on yours, and that you're growing old together. And, you know, we've been married 20 years, and I just, like, it, just even talking about it, I feel like I'm going to burst into tears because it's just so sweet. And I think that we've just got to have a heart check about why we're getting hyper-focused on this thing that we have, this reel in our mind of, I don't know if I'm attracted to them anymore. And really, we need to focus on what God has given us, what's right ahead of us. It doesn't mean that there isn't something that needs to change. Maybe there is. Maybe they've become really unhealthy, and, or maybe they're doing something that's just really not very attractive. And maybe it's a behavior. It could be something that definitely needs to be addressed. So, you know, I'm not saying that these things aren't worth looking into, but I just think that we need to really be careful about what we're focusing on, because, you know, the things that we allow to play through our mind really shape our life. And so I would just challenge you to think about what you're thankful for, how God brought the two of you together. And also, you know, remember that you've changed too. Like, you're not exactly the same when, you know, you probably don't look the same as when you guys got married. Maybe you look better. Maybe in your mind, it's not better. And so I think that we've got to be, you know that there's so much more to a marriage than the physical. And attraction isn't only about the physical. I mean, there's things that really carry so much more weight in our life and really, you know, kind of hold our hearts together. Those things aren't even usually physical. It's usually has to do with much deeper things that we have going on between us that connect us.
It absolutely does. And so when we say work to be the most attractive version of yourself or your spouse, and I do say that, work to be the most attractive version of yourself, but it's not just physical. In fact, the physical part's like way down the list, even though I think you should try to stay healthy and, you know, all of those things. And, but do the things that your spouse is attracted to you. The reason why I changed all those diapers is because I saw Ashley's eyes light up every time I would do it. And I'm like, I want to see that look in her eyes more often. I mean, a lot of the things that I do, it isn't just because I naturally want to do it, but it's because I so want to be the best version of myself for her. And if both spouses have that mentality, like, I want to be the best version of myself for God first and foremost, but for my spouse, because it's a privilege to be married to them. And I want to remind myself that it's a privilege every day. And I want to, out of gratitude and just out of wanting to be my best for them, for the sake of our marriage, I want to strive to do the things that I know they love and appreciate. And if you'll do those things, I think that you will find attraction will grow, and it will deepen through the years. It won't be maybe like just a purely physical, superficial, hormonal driven attraction that, you know, you might have first felt when you laid eyes on each other all those years ago, but it can be something so much deeper and so much richer than that. And the beauty that you see when you look at one another truly can be something so much more beautiful than anything on the surface could ever capture. So thank you guys for sticking around to this. We're going to enter into the time of the podcast, which is my favorite time and yours. Actually, I don't know if it's yours, but I'm just assuming it maybe is, because it's fun. It's question time.
That's right. Q&A.
So thank you guys for sending in questions. Again, you can send us questions at nakedmarriagepodcast.com. Those are the ones we answer here on the air. We don't get to all of them, but we do appreciate all those who write in. You can also find us on social media, and we try to answer the questions on social media that you send to us, whether it's at Dave and Ashley Willis on Instagram, or if you just search marriage on Facebook, you can find us pop up there. So today's question: how do I respond when my spouse is talking disrespectfully to me, particularly in front of other people? My husband will talk down about me in our small group and often yells at me disrespectfully while he's on the phone with his coworkers. It's embarrassing and it's so hurtful. I've brought it up to him and told him how it makes me feel, but nothing changes. I need some serious advice. Gosh, you know, I thank you for sending this question in, and my heart breaks for yours. It's just inexcusable the way that your husband is treating you. That is so disrespectful. He might not, it might be this huge, well, actually, there's nothing I can say to justify like what he's doing, because it can't be a blind spot. You're pointing it out to him. So listen, if this dude is listening, or if you're a guy listening and you are being harsh to your wife like that, man, stop. Stop being a jerk. You need to adore her and treasure her. You know, I've got a good friend. We've got a good friend who kind of lived this out in his marriage, and he thought, you know, his criticism was actually just to, I think in his mind, he was thinking, I'm just trying to improve, help my wife improve and point out all those places where she's doing stuff wrong, and wow, the house isn't clean enough, or she doesn't cook good enough, or whatever it was. But he was just constantly critical. And eventually she just left.
Yeah, she did.
And hardly anybody was surprised, you know, when she did. And it was still, divorce is horrible and it was a heartbreaking situation. But our words are so powerful.
They are.
And I'm not telling that story to justify the divorce, nor to justify like his criticism. I'm just saying that when our words are harsh, it leads to bad places. It can lead to an ending of a marriage. It's that serious. And we have got to adore one another. But to answer her in particular, sweetie, what do you do when you're the recipient?
Right.
Like, you're not the one that's speaking these harsh words. You're the one being disrespected.
I mean, this is one of those things where you have to make it crystal clear that it's not okay. And to the point where I would even say, when he starts doing this, I would even tell him, like, I'm just not going to stand here and take this. I wouldn't just get up and walk away right away, but I would remind him, and I would even say, like, listen, this is not okay. You cannot talk to me this way. I love you. And I just have to protect my heart in this matter. And so until you can talk to me in a respectful way about this, I'm not going to keep on taking this kind of treatment. I mean, I think it's because this has gone on a long time. She's already told him how it makes her feel. And I think this is the next step, is saying, like, when you go into these rants, even in your small group, I would just get up. I mean, I would, if he's ranting, go to the bathroom. Like, it's just not something that you can stand for. And I think he'll get the picture. I mean, if you're not going to take it, he's clearly not going to dish it out. And this is not very healthy. I mean, I don't normally encourage this kind of behavior, but I feel like when you've already said something, you know, clearly he's not getting the message. I think you've got to say, you know, I love you, but this is not okay. I'm not going to keep on taking this. You're not just going to berate me, whether we're in private or in public, and the public makes it even so much worse. And you have to, you know, odds are they may have children as well. You need to point out that he's doing this in front of your kids.
Yeah, showing your
you
kids
are showing
the
kids.
Wrong example.
Exactly. They're going to think this is okay. And especially they're going to think it's okay if you just stand there and take it. And so you're going to have to say, like, listen, for the sake of not only myself, but for our children and our family, I am putting my foot down and saying, you cannot talk to me this way anymore. I don't want to fight with you like this. We need to work through this. And I would say this is a case where you absolutely need to go to counseling.
Yes.
Like, I don't see having any kind of breakthrough with this without the addition of Christian counseling in your life. Definitely find a Christian counselor, maybe through your church, through your small group, ask around. They've clearly seen how he's treating you, and I'm sure they'll be quick to give you recommendation. But I also think you would benefit from talking to one of our marriage coaches here at Exo Marriage. They're amazing. And even if your husband doesn't want to talk to one right away, you can call them yourself and really get that support, not only the prayer support, but also perspective and some next steps you can take. And you can do that by going to exomarriage.com/help. And so I'm so sorry you're going through this. Our heart goes out to you. Please know that we're going to be praying for you specifically, and that you will have the words, and also that God will give you the courage, because you've been bullied. You're being bullied, and it's hard to stand up to bullies. And I'm not trying to badmouth your husband, but he's clearly in the wrong here. And I know he can change. We've seen our friend humbled through this experience. But it took a divorce for him to do that. And I know that's not what you want. So we're going to be praying that your husband's heart will be soft whenever you do stand up and he realizes, wow, I am wrong. And she's not letting me do this anymore. And I've got to change my ways. And hopefully he'll get some help in that area as well.
Great, great question. And sweetie, great answer. And again, whatever you're facing, whatever issue, our team at exomarriage.com/help, whether it's a specific issue like the one we just addressed or something completely different, they are equipped to help you navigate whatever you're facing.
Yes.
So check out that website. Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It's just a privilege that you guys are part of this Naked Marriage global family with us. You know, we're honored to be on this journey with you. Go to exomarriage.com for continued resources. Check us out on social media. We would love to connect with you there. We want to thank you for listening. Want to thank the whole team here at Exo Marriage. Want to thank in particular the crew we've got in the studio with us today. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you notice that we've got a whole brand new studio setup.
Spiffy desk.
It is looking really nice.
Yes.
And so thank you guys for putting that together. Shout out to Andrew Grekoff, world traveler and tech wizard. Shout out to our assistant producer and tallest staff member, Eric Randall, father to be. And a shout out to our senior producer, mountaineer and adventurer, and South Lake Texas's most eligible bachelor, Marcus Bowen. These guys make it happen, and
they're amazing.
We love them. And shout out to Brent Evans, president of Exo Marriage, formerly the tallest staff member. Now he's second place.
Formerly, yes.
And the whole crew here. It really is a great team. And guys, thank you again for listening. One final announcement. Come to one of our live events.
Yes.
We would love to meet you. We would love to hug you. If that is...
If you're okay with it.
Yeah, if you're okay with it. Wherever we are in the COVID universe with that, we will give you a hug if you want it. And these events are amazing. We've got several coming up. Go to exomarriage.com and you can get the whole schedule.
That's right. We'll see you next time.